B-Pod Studios.
Joining us here on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Dan Orlovsky. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, man. Let me just get this out of the way real quick. When is the steel cage match between you and Max Kellerman? When is that happening?
It usually happens every Monday morning on ESPN between 10 and 12. And it's more of a verbal sparring than anything. But, dude, listen, I love Max. I got a gajillion percent respect for Max. He will not move off his spot, man. He, like, even sometimes, Mark, like, you know, people think those shows are contrived and whatnot. Like, in commercial break, I'd be like, Max, come on. Like, you don't really. And he's like, no, no, no. He just continues to go. And I'm like, Max, okay, like, you, if you want this on national television, I'm ready to go, bud.
I love it. See, and I like when you try to not qualify the argument, but just make it known what exactly you're arguing. Because so many other times people move the goalposts and they change the subject and you're trying to stay on point.
Well, yeah, and it's like, especially with, like, he'll just continue to go back to, Dan, I used to think he was really good too. And then he got hurt. And then last year, I'll be like, Max, this is not the conversation we're having. Like, stop bringing up last year. I know Nick Foles led them to a Super Bowl. You don't have to remind me every single time we talk about Carson.
Right. Speaking with Dan Orlovsky. Now, speaking of Carson Wentz, when you look at the way that he has played, especially over the last 3 weeks now, and you look at what the offense has done, especially late in games with Travis Fulgham, you mentioned last week the mechanics are coming along. It seemed like last week it was throwing almost mechanics out the window and just getting back to being a guy that could go out there and make plays with his legs and also scrambling and all that stuff. What did you see from Carson that was encouraging against the Ravens last week?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the mechanics are very good in the pocket, and that's where he's kind of struggled earlier in the year. I mean, if you go back to I think it was the first third down of the game, right? The bomb to Hightower that gets dropped, like, that mechanically is perfect. Like, if you watch his eyes, he catches the snap, his eyes get Marcus Peters to drift into the middle of the field. He's thinking in route, holds the safety for a second, and then he comes back and drives the football downfield. So, but mechanically, like, when it comes to the drop back game, the things that were showing up early on are gone. And that's, you know, part of it was probably just the repetition and the focus of that. But I do think that there's been the more, you know, the understanding of the big picture for their offense. One, how beat up they are. So you have to allow him to move around some. Two, that's where he's at his best. You know, like, there's this reality. Like, Russell Wilson's at his best in that capacity as well. Like, when Russell is moving and off the spot and creating, like, that's when he's at his best. And so I think it was, I remember I said this to you guys a couple weeks ago, like, they just got to get to the point where they're okay with him getting hit a little bit. And, you know, it's weird. Some guys, they just start to perform better when they get hit. Like, they feel more juice and energy within the game and more kind of like comfort with moving around. And so I thought Carson played remarkably well last week. Remarkably well. I mean, it's kind of indisputable. I mean, should have thrown for 350 and four touchdowns and should have won that game. They're going to need another performance like that tonight, though, because of the reality of the team. But Carson Wentz is no longer the issue in Philly.
I love hearing that. And I know a lot of people were talking about the Miles Sanders drop in the end zone. And some people, I will label them as haters. They said, Carson threw the wrong shoulder. To me, I thought
I'm happy you brought this up.
Because I watched that play and I'm like, wait, that ball's lofted in the end zone to a receiver. The hell with what shoulder it's supposed to be. That's supposed to be a catch. What did you see on that play?
This is why I wish I could put video on Twitter still. I'm not allowed to anymore because NFL media rights and all that stuff. Like, I've heard that. I've heard that. And I've heard people like, well, he threw it over the wrong shoulder. Well, okay, so the correct shoulder, yes, is to throw it over his kind of left shoulder, from the right to the left and take him to the sideline. So the reason he could not do that was because Miles got widened on his release by the linebacker. Totally fine. But if he throws it over that correct shoulder, he also throws it out of bounds.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the ball is coming out of his hands, and he's outside the bottom half of the numbers. He's going to get thrown out of bounds. So Carson does two things. He throws it on the inside because he knows it's man-to-man and there's no one over the top, and he takes air off of it to allow Miles to make that adjustment. Listen, it's a difficult catch. There's no question about it. But it's also a really difficult throw, and that's the right throw at the right time. Like, Sean McVay used to always say this. Make the right throw. I don't care if you can make all the throws. Make the right one. That was the right throw per what the coverage was to Miles. Difficult catch. You want him to make it, but that was the right throw.
Dan, watching Travis Fulgham over the last few weeks has been utterly impressive. And, you know, we caution ourselves whether to go all in and say, man, this guy's the real deal, or go the other way of saying flash in the pan. What are you seeing so far out of him?
No, I say real deal. You know, what his ceiling is going to be, God only knows. You know who reminds me of a lot? I said this fits, but I think the better comp with coming into the NFL style-wise is Marcus Colston. You guys remember Marcus Colston?
Yeah, sure.
More than things.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
A little bit more of a big body. He's never going to run by guys on a consistent basis. But if you just watch, there's some guys that when the ball is in the air, like they just have this trait and skill, like that's my ball. And, like it's just my football, and I'm going to go fight for the football type of thought process. A great feel for body control and timing on the jump. Like he just has that. Like that 4th-and-9 touchdown when Carson scrambles and kind of throws it up for zero pressure. Like you can just tell the way it's not just go up and make a catch. Like you got to go up and shield off defenders and like jump at the right time and make the catch and turn your body away from people like that. Those are all like these split second skill traits. And I think like we're getting examples of him doing that on a consistent basis. So I remember this. I went down, so I do college games, and I asked Clemson's receivers coach and then Dabo, like, what was the number one physical trait they looked for with their Clemson? And they said above speed, all this stuff, contested catches. Like, you've got to make contested catches. And I think that's the most exciting and kind of the thing that he does best is like make those contested catches where guys are there. It's the NFL. Guys are there and he makes those catches. And so I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I think this is like a budding, really, really good player.
I love that. And yeah, we talked a lot about the variety of catches he was making, especially against the Steelers. And then he made a lot of those similar catches, obviously against the Ravens. So the variety is what really stuck out to me. I love that you're saying that. Speaking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Dan, the other thing here is Jalen Hurts. And how much can it help or hurt a quarterback like Carson Wentz to be under center one moment, lining up as a blocking wide receiver as another? How do you take that kind of relationship when it comes to Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz on the football field?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts to me is like right now it's like the city of Las Vegas. Like, if you do it right and for the right amount of time, it's a really good experience. If you stay too long, it's going to hurt somebody. I actually think that's something that I want more of, because the reality is this: is it's helping the football team. It's helping the offense. Now, how many plays does it actually become? Like, it's definitely a, you know, when you sprinkle it in and how many times you do it are more important than anything. And so a very clear plan, like I think they need to do more of it tonight, because you can just continue to expound on that package. It's not going to be the foundational piece of who your offense is. But if that gets you, you know, 6 to 8 plays and it gets you 60 yards and flips a field or a scoring possession or something, like, it's a really big deal. And so I want more of Jalen Hurts tonight, but not in the aspect of like, hey, Jalen, you're the focal point of the offense. Like, we are just going to continue to utilize you as a playmaking piece for us. I want to see them throw the ball to him a little bit too, as well, in a screen game or something. So there's definitely the way that you can do it where it has zero negative impact on your quarterback, but also helps your team. Because the reality is, if this was the August 1st roster, then I would say, like, I don't think it's needed just yet. But there, you know, like this roster is decimated offensively, and so that's why you can definitely utilize more of it.
Cool. Now, I just want to ask you this, very generally speaking, what do you think of a play or two where Jalen Hurts is on the football field and Carson Wentz is not?
Because like a player or two, I can understand. You
yeah.
Know, like,
okay. The, okay. Okay. Yeah. That's all I'm asking.
Mark, my question would be, who are you putting in for 11?
Another wide receiver. So, for instance, what I'm saying is, maybe in an instance where in a game like the Ravens where he's being hit 16 times, maybe you don't have him line up as a blocking wide receiver. You actually have a wide receiver do that.
Yeah, I get that. But here's the thing is, you got to remember, like, when Jalen Hurts runs onto the football field, the defensive coaches go, okay, here comes Hurts. Okay, quarterback is still in. So they've got to, their personnel that they keep on the field still has to be a personnel that can defend the pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still has to be a personnel that defends the pass game. And their call has to be some that they feel covers them in the pass game as well. Once Carson Wentz comes off the field and Jalen Hurts runs on with another receiver, your personnel that you'll see defensively can and should be different. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. A defensive coordinator is going to go, okay, this is 90% likely run, where it might not be the case with Carson still in the field. That's the only caveat that I have.
Dan, you have a relatively healthy Eagles defense going up against what kind of Giants offense tonight? What can they expect to see from them tonight?
Yeah, so the Giants offensive line is very poor. It's below average, especially the interior. The Eagles defensive line should win the football game, so to speak. Like, they should be absolutely dominant against this offensive line for the Giants. Two, Daniel Jones as a quarterback is the same quarterback that came out of Duke that when you put some pressure on him, he will panic with the football. There will be three times tonight that he will throw the ball up for grabs, so to speak. Like, he will take a unnecessary chance with the ball. You have to catch it. Like, I know that sounds simple, but the opportunity tonight will be there. You have to catch it if you're the Eagles' defense. Linebackers and secondary guys got to catch the football. You know, they're limited. Their run game's okay. You know, like, Freeman's been a nice piece for them off the street, but it's okay. They got really one receiver that you fear, so to speak, and that's Slayton. It'd be interesting to see if they shadow him with Slay at all, but Slayton is a legit wide receiver, especially down the field. And so that is, like, you cannot let Slayton make big plays down the field on you. Golden's still a good player in Ingram. You know, like, you got to match up well against Ingram. I would not put a single linebacker on Ingram, but the big thing is making sure that the Eagles D-line just dominates the offensive line and then keep the ball in front, especially with Slayton. And the defense should handle the Giants' offense. It's not a good offense.
And then when you talk about defensively entirely, when last week you pointed out Calais Campbell, Marlon Humphrey, you talked about Marcus Peters. Is there one guy in particular, Martinez maybe, one guy defensively speaking with the Giants you're keeping an eye on if you're Carson Wentz?
Kyler Fackrell. Yeah. Now, Fackrell's a good player. Like, he is a good pass rusher. I actually played against him when he was in Green Bay. He's a good, physical, long playmaker. Got great feel. Like, one of those defensive ends that got great feel. Like, the Giants' defensive line is good. Like, people sleep on their defensive line is a good defensive line. I think that's something that Carson's got to be super aware about is this is not a team you really want to hold the ball against a ton. Not only because your offensive line is decimated, but this is a very, very good defensive line. Now, you know, when you watch the Giants defensively, I'd say a couple things. Really good defensive line. Logan Ryan's playing really good football, and Bradbury's playing good football. They got two guys in their secondary that are playing really sound ball. When they play zone coverage, I'm hoping Carson's listening. He's not. Do not throw the football down the field. They do a really good job of getting deep in their zone drop. And it just, quarterbacks are like, oh, I'm going to fit this ball in there, and it becomes a pick. Like, you got to throw the ball down on the check down. Just throw it down in front of them and make them come up and tackle. They'll give you 6-7 yard throws in zone coverage. Now, when they play their man, that's when, like, I actually think they got to take some chances down the field with Hightower tonight. I know that he's had some drops but he's their speed guy. We'll see if Deshaun plays and how much impact, all that stuff. But, like, when they play man, you got to take your shots down the field. But when they play their zone man, do not try that zone because they get very deep.
Deshaun's back tonight. Any chance to see them try it with him?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it all depends on, like, okay, Deshaun's back. How does he feel starting the game? How does he feel in the second or third quarters? That's a big deal as well. Like, can he start the game and finish the game? You know, and how is he feeling throughout that? How are his legs feeling throughout it? So I would say, you know, to start, I think you feel better with Hightower right now. Just throwing the football downfield. They did a nice job with him. Yes, he's got to catch the ball, but I think Hightower has got a little bit more, like, you know, I guess comfort with Carson right now and understanding with Carson right now. And so if I was Doug, I would take a shot with Hightower early on. But it's got to be against man. If it's zone, the ball should not come out of his hand deep.
Excuse me for not already noting this, Dan Orlovsky, but last question for you. Did you ever have to block as a quarterback?
Oh, dude, in 2011, we were really bad in Indianapolis, and I threw a game-winning block, bro.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but it's real.
Yeah. Pancake? It's also when I was 250. So, no. It was more like a, hey, like just fall in front of another human type thing more than like, hey, that was a big time block.
Good strategy.
It's effective.
Good strategy.
Yeah.
Dan, always good catching up with you, man. Thanks so much.
You too, man. Shout out to the Union Saturday night.
How about that?
There you go.
First place. Albright is balling in that organization. Shout out. Appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, you're the man.
Thanks, Dan.
My best.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.